ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 एंड 16 बट वील रीड टेक्स्ट नंबर 16 बिकॉज टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 डज नॉट हैव एनी परपोर्ट। यर्हि आत्मनोऽधिकाराध्य सर्वस्योर्यज्ञसंपदः वैतानिकेन विधिना अग्निहोत्राधीना यजेत। ट्रांसलेशन: व्हेन वन इज एनरिच्ड विथ वेल्थ एंड नॉलेज विच आर अंडर हिज फुल कंट्रोल एंड बाय मीन्स ऑफ विच ही कैन परफॉर्म यज्ञ और प्लीज द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, वन मस्ट परफॉर्म सैक्रिफाइसेस offering oblations to the fire according to the directions of the Shastras. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Before this, I would like to read text number 15 also. Every day, one should worship the Supreme Being who is situated in everyone's heart, and on this basis, one should separately worship the demigods, the saintly persons, ordinary human beings and living entities, one's forefathers and one's self. In this way, one is able to worship the Supreme Being in the core of everyone's heart. Purport: if a grihastha or a householder is sufficiently educated in Vedic knowledge and has become sufficiently rich to offer worship to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must perform yajna as directed by the authorized scriptures. Bhagavad Gita 3.9 clearly says, yajnyartha karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanah. Everyone may be engaged in his occupational duties, but the result of these duties should be offered for the sacrifice to satisfy the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to possess transcendental knowledge as well as the money with which to perform sacrifices, one must do it according to the directions given in the Shastras. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krite tad dhyayato vishnum tritayam yagya mukhae dvapare pari archayam kalotad hari kirtanad. The entire Vedic civilization aims at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was possible in Satyug by meditation upon the Supreme Lord within the core of one's heart, and in Trita Yug by performance of costly yajnas. The same goal could be achieved in Dwapar Yuga by worship of the Lord in the temple, and in this age of Kali, one can achieve the same goal by performing Sankirtan Yajna. Therefore, one who has education and wealth must use them to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by helping the Sankirtan movement that has already begun, the Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement. All educated and wealthy persons must join this movement, since money and education are meant for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If money and education are not engaged in the service of the Lord, these valuable assets must be engaged in the service of Maya. The education of so-called scientists, philosophers and poets is now engaged in the service of Maya, and the wealth of the rich is also engaged in Maya's service. The service of Maya, however, creates a chaotic condition in the world. Therefore, the wealthy man and the educated man should sacrifice their knowledge and opulence by dedicating them for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord and joining this Sankirtan movement. Yajna Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hisu Medasa. So in this wonderful chapter of the seventh canto, the ideal family life, in which the different aspects in which a grihastha, even though maintaining his ashram, can perfectly or completely perfect his life based on these principles which are enunciated here. So many principles right from the beginning are given. But this principle which is spoken here is the most practical one, but at the same time most difficult also, especially in the second part. Okay? Because in this verse, there are two things which are discussed, which one should offer a sacrifice to the Supreme Lord. First is knowledge, and second is wealth. To distribute knowledge is understood, but to sacrifice one's wealth, it is difficult. But even though the sacrifice which a grihastha has to perform, these two aspects are difficult, the results which one is going to get out of it is immense, which one cannot even think of. So many things, practically everything one has to sacrifice, and not just grihasthas, everyone, whichever household he may be, whichever ashram he may be, he has to live his life based on these principles. Even though it may be mentioned in the verse in reference to grihasthas, but every ashram has to follow it, whatever he may possess with him. So everything, whatever comes or whatever one possesses, has to be offered as sacrifice. So one may say, what is the need for a person to offer sacrifice? If I am working for it, I am working hard for it, I have achieved it. Let me be the enjoyer. Why should I give it to others? So, as Prabhupada explains in this verse, purport of this, that any activity, if one's not, if the results are not offered to the Supreme Personality of God as a sacrifice, then the same results become the cause of one's bondage. Karmana, what is that verse? Purport of that. Yagyartha karmana anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. So that bondage, even though we may have it, we may have all opulence, all wealth and all knowledge, if that is not offered as sacrifice, then we may enjoy, so-called enjoyment may be there, but that enjoyment is going to become the bondage of our life, and we are going to be stuck here, hooked here in this material world. So in order to become free from that, one has to practice this principle of sacrificing. And second aspect is, one may say, I have worked it, I have achieved it. But who are you to achieve it? Unless until Krishna gives you, even though you may work hard, if Krishna does not give you, from where will you get that opulence? From where will you get that intelligence? From where will you get that money? Unless until Krishna gives. And it is all these opulences, whatever a person may possess, ultimately one has to know that it is a gift of Krishna. Unless until Krishna desires to give it to us, we cannot achieve it. And if we don't become, or we don't utilize those achievements in Krishna's service, then we become thieves. And therefore, as Krishna explains in the 6th chapter, as when Arjuna is putting that question, that what is the faith of the unsuccessful yogi? So what does Krishna do? Krishna says, Suchinam Shri Matam Gehe, Yoga Bhrashta Jayate. When the yogi who has become fallen or could not complete or successfully complete his path, what is given? He is given birth in a high family, in an aristocratic family, a birth in a people, those who have a lot of intelligence. So all these things come as a bonus to every living entity. And therefore, knowing this, that what I have is, does not belong to me. It is Krishna's property. It is Krishna's gift to me. So let me utilize in Krishna's service. And therefore, even though it may appear difficult, one has to practice this principle of offering sacrifice for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And what one should sacrifice? What should one sacrifice? Even though in this verse, it says, only knowledge and money. But Bhagavatam explains, Etavan janma safalyam dehinam iha deheshu praner arthair dhya vacha shreyam ashram siddha. Praner, one should give up, sacrifice his life, one should sacrifice his wealth, intelligence and words. Everything has to be sacrificed. Here it speaks only two things. But ultimately whatever one possesses, one should know that it is for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, not for one's own self. And it is not that only we have to sacrifice, or only we have to pray for that. Great acharyas, the whole mood of our acharyas was in like that only. And our acharyas are teaching us through their own personal life, the practice, that this principle of renunciation, principle of sacrifice has to be developed. And therefore, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, Manasa Deho Geho, Jo Kichu Mur, Arpila Tuva Pade, Nanda Kishore. That everything, whatever I possess, is ultimately should be offered to you. So therefore, it is very much essential for every person to lead a life based on this principle of sacrifice, of offering everything for the pleasure of Supreme Lord. And as Prabhupada speaks in this word, purport of this verse, for the mission to spread the glories of the Hare Krishna movement, to spread the glories of Krishna. One has to do that. And then one may think, okay, one has to do it, but how? So Prabhupada answers that also in the purport. And even in the verse also it says that one has to offer oblations according to the direction of the Shastras. Even Bhagavad Gita also explains the charity in different modes. One may be very charitable, but one may do charity in the mode of ignorance, passion and goodness. But Krishna says that ultimately it has to be done in the mode of goodness. That is not binding. That is what gives ultimate results. And everything, whatever is to be done, it has to be done according to the Shastras. And we see, according to Shastra, we said that once every Grihastha should sacrifice 50% of their income. When somebody hears it, it's very difficult. How can one offer 50%? But our Acharyas, by their practical example, have shown it. We know about Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. When they were giving up the job or the service of Nawab Hussain Shah, whatever money they had accumulated, 50% was given to the Brahmanas and sages, or for those preaching Krishna consciousness. It was given to them. So by their practical examples, they have shown that it is not just a theoretical thing. One has to practice all this. And even it has to be not just Shastras according to the instructions of the Guru, according to the instruction of spiritual master. Because many times you may not be acquainted with the Shastras, but and Shastra may say 50%. But if that is not possible, Guru, knowing our condition and our status, he may say, okay, not 50%, this much. Or these all things you have to sacrifice for the mission. So the second, as first is Shastra, second is according to the Guru. And therefore, we see that when Prabhupada met his spiritual master for the second time at Radhakund, the instruction was, whenever you get money, print books. So money has to be utilized for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. And even Subuddhi Rai, here it speaks of 50%, but Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Subuddhi Rai, when he gave up everything on the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Vrindavan, even though he had given up everything, all his material association, obligation, jobs and everything, but what was the activity in Vrindavan? Collecting woods, dry woods from the jungle, selling them in the market and saving that money, not for one's own self, for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. So that these Vaishnavas, when they come to Jagannath Puri, to Vrindavan from Navadvip on Parikrama, because these Bengalis could not eat chapatis, and by eating, those chapatis, they used to get stomach upset. So he used to purchase out of that money fine quality rice and oil to massage them. So practically whatever he used to collect throughout the year was used for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, for the pleasure of the mission. That was Subuddhi Rai. So many examples, as verse after Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, personalities after personalities have not just dedicated 50% or 20%, they have completely dedicated their life, and they were not renunciants. Many of them were Grihasthas. And therefore, this renunciation, this sacrifice has to be practiced. And Indradyumna Maharaj has his famous quotation. Like one person may ask that how much, to what extent should we donate or do give charity? He says, donate or give charity to the extent that it pinches your heart. It has to cause pain to your heart. To that extent, one has to give in charity. Then one can understand that, yes, I have given enough of mine. And not only that, as it is said, Krishna does not see how much you are giving. Krishna sees how much you are keeping back. And therefore, we see in this beautiful community of Sri Radha Gopinath, there are so many wonderful devotees, Grihasthas, exalted. This whole temple is standing not on just some pillars of some iron metal rods. It is standing on the pillars who are the Grihasthas, who have made Radha Gopinath as the 50% partners in their business, profit. Whatever they get it, everything comes here, this temple. And not only such, this is one extent of making Radha Gopinath their 50% profit partner. If you go to accounts office, every devotee, every Grihastha, they have their monthly donations. Whatever is their capacity, they may not donate 50%, 10%, 5%, 1%, but they'll see to it that monthly 500, monthly 1,000 rupees, they'll come and donate. Even though it may be difficult for them, sometimes for months together, they may not be able to pay. I've seen once, one devotee came and said, Prabhuji, I could not pay, this is 6 months collection, I got it, please accept it. It's so difficult, but according to their conditioning, according to their situations, they are donating it. And that is why this beautiful temple has manifested, just based on Grihasthas, because they have this renounced mood, sacrificial mood, that whatever is there under the instructions of Guru, for the pleasure of Radha Gopinath and for the pleasure of all devotees, they are sacrificing their hard-earned money. Now, what It is said, yes, one has to sacrifice. But what if one does not accept these principles of sacrificing whatever they possess? What is going to happen? So, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was playing on the banks of Jamuna, so the coward boys, they come and they start complaining to Mother Yashoda that, oh mother, see Krishna is eating dirt. Because till now only the gopis were complaining that your son is coming and stealing butter from our house. But now the colleagues, the associates of Krishna, they were coming and complaining that your son is eating dirt, please check him. And Mother Yashoda goes, approaches Krishna and says, Krishna, have you eaten dirt? So he says, no, I have not eaten, these are liars. And if you want, you can check my mouth. And Krishna opens, like an ordinary human being, he just opens his mouth so that his mother can peep into it. And when Yashoda peeps into that beautiful small little lotus mouth of Krishna, she sees everything, the whole universal creations, the time factor, the three modes of material nature, everything. And she gets bewildered actually, because she is influenced by the external energy of the Lord. She gets bewildered and she thinks that what is happening to me? Am I dreaming? Am I under illusion? Is my intelligence being affected by some modes of material nature? She is confused. But then she says, whatever may be, let me just surrender unto Krishna. This means surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they didn't have the concept actually of Krishna, that my son is the Supreme Lord, because of such parental affection was there. They didn't ever consider. But then she starts offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. And one very important prayer that comes, which establishes these principles of why one should sacrifice, is she's praying, Aham mama so patir e shame suto, Vrajeshvara sakhila vitapasati, Gopyascha gopa sahagodanascha me, Yan maya etham kumati same gati. She's praying, it is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's maya that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband and that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possession, and all the coward men and their wives are my subjects. I also am an eternal subordinate of the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. So this illusion, this external things which Mother Yashoda was thinking that these belong to me, she is coming to that realization, these are actually not belong to me. They are actually gifts which are given to me by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore I should not get bewildered by whatever opulences I am getting. So if one does not accept this principle of sacrifice in his life, then what is going to happen? This Prabhupada explains very beautifully in this purport that following the footsteps of Mother Yashoda, everyone should follow this mentality of renunciation. This mentality of renunciation is not going to take birth in us. Even though initially it may be forced. Initially you may not wanting to do it. But somehow or the other, by force or by love, you have to give birth to this principle of renunciation. And what Prabhupada continues in that purport, that whatever wealth, opulence, or whatever else we may possess belongs not to us, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate shelter of everyone and the ultimate owner of everything. Mother Yashoda completely, thinking like that, Mother Yashoda completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada also, in that purport says, Ato griha shetra sutapavittir janasya moya aham mameti. So this aham mameti syndrome, this disease which is affecting everyone, one cannot become free out of it without this principle of sacrifice. And therefore, one has to. And if one does not follow, if one does not follow this principle, what is going to happen? He is going to be attached. He is going to be here only in this material world, rotting, thinking that in this false illusion that I am this body, whatever is related to this body is mine. Aham me maiti. And therefore, Prabhupada concludes that one's land, home, wealth, and all one's possessions belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we may wrongly think, I am this and these things are mine. So in order to overcome this state, in order to overcome this illusion, which is very difficult, but we have to begin. by applying this principle of sacrifice for the pleasure of Supreme Lord in our lives. And then we have some hope. And what will happen if you don't follow? Now, in this verse, it speaks of two aspects. One is knowledge, and second is wealth. Now we see, as Prabhupada also mentioned in the purport, if this knowledge is not utilized in Krishna's service, if this knowledge is not engaged in Krishna's service, then what is going to happen? We are simply going to make fools out of ourselves. It is going to create a chaotic situation in the material world. And we see, Prabhupada writes in the purport, that there are so many poets, so many philosophers, but what are they doing with their intelligence? And even Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes about one great personality, Sarvam Bhattacharya. Such a great intelligent person, incarnation of Brihaspati. But what was the result? That intelligence was not engaged in Krishna's service, that intelligence was not engaged to know Krishna. The result is, one either becomes atheist or becomes Mayavadi like Sarvam Bhattacharya. That is the result. And the second thing is wealth. The famous example of wealth. Person, if it is not engaged in Krishna's service, if it is not offered as a sacrifice, the example is of Manigriva and Nalakuvera. Manigriva and Nalakuvera were sons of the finance minister of the entire material world, Kuveras. What was not there for him? But what is the result? They simply got allured, they simply got lost by the influence of this money. And therefore, when Narad Muni comes, when Narad Muni is traveling, and he sees this condition of these two souls who are just being, you know, enjoying, trying to be enjoyers of this world and trying to enjoy with this opposite sex, he feels so embarrassed and so compassionate that in that compassion he curses them. And in that curse, there are beautiful realizations which Narad Muni is giving. I'll just try to read that. Two prayers. He says, Narad Muni said, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. When one is uneducated but falsely puffed up by the wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, woman, and gambling. So if one does not utilize his money for Krishna's service as sacrifice, then the result is it will be utilized for one's own sense gratification in the form of wine, woman, and money. This is Narad Muni's words. And secondly, he says, there are so many series of things he speaks. And then he speaks, atheistic fools and rascals who are very much proud of wealth fail to see things as they are. So this is also the influence of money, wealth. They fail to see things as we are. Fail to see things or the principle that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. That we are originating from Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarva lokam maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam yatva mam shanti mrishyati. This principle is, the understanding of this principle is lost. And the only thing that ends up is trying ourselves to be the enjoyers and end up with a life full of frustration and suffering. So many instances are there. This is just one example. If one wealth is not utilized in Krishna's service as sacrifice. And then, whether you are intelligent, whether you have money, whether you have beauty, as Kunti Maharani says, all these four things, Janma Ishvara Shruti Shri Bhir, Yedamadamadapman. One's high birth, high parentage, intelligence, wealth, everything, whatever one has, if that is not dovetailed towards Krishna, then what happens? It simply causes madness. Simply takes you away from the devotional service of Krishna, which is the constitutional position of every soul. This asset which we have in this human form of life, that is lost. And therefore, Shastras are giving this. Otherwise, there was no need for all these things to mention, that how a Grihastha should live. But in order to save everyone, not only Grihastha, everyone, every ashram, in order to save them from this illusion, in order to save them from falling down, Shastras are describing or enunciating these principles. And what? Now, after knowing that, yes, if we don't do this, this may be the result. But what will happen if we lead our life based on these principles? complete peace. As I said, when we know that Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer, Krishna is the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices, everything is for him, then what does one get? Ultimate peace. Gyatva mam shanti mrishyati. Ultimate peace is achieved. And mercy of the Lord. Because we are not going to be delivered, or we are not going to come out of this illusion unless and until the mercy of the Lord is going to come upon us. Unless and until the Lord, bhakti is a process not which can be achieved by one's own endeavor. One's endeavor may be there, but unless and until the Lord sanctions our endeavor and is ready to shower his mercy on us, we are not going to achieve the perfection of life. We are not going to achieve Krishna. And therefore, we see in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita one very beautiful personality, very exalted. He was also a grihastha, making a lot of money. But what was utilizing his money for? Just for the pleasure of the devotees and for expanding the mission. Every year, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, every year devotees used to go and meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The whole Navadvip, residents, the associates of the Lord. And that time there were no trains, nothing, no airways, nothing was there. The only means for them was walking. So all the way from Navadvip, these devotees used to walk. And it was not just one day journey. Months and months used to go to reach Jagannath Puri. So there is this ideal grihastha, Shivananda Sen, utilizing all his intelligence which Krishna has given him, all his money, to see for the comfort of all the Vaishnavas. Every devotee, and not only just human beings, even of that dog also. Every year, perfectly taking care of each and every need of every devotee. What does he want? What does he not want? Constructing houses for them, paying tolls at all stations, wherever they used to cross the states, to the extent that Nityanand Prabhu once got angry with him, and he had to kick because he was not able to provide, but still he was somewhat struggling to please everyone. And this service attitude was attractive to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much. He was attracted to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much that after this whole parikrama, when they reached now Jagannath Puri, all of them, they went to take darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that time, Shivananda Sen was also associated with his wife. She was also there. All of them, they went, and Mahaprabhu was so pleased by his service. And that time, he said that the youngest son, she was pregnant. He already had two sons, and third time she was pregnant. Mahaprabhu just looked at, glanced over her and said, when this son will be born, give him the name Paramananda Das. Before that only. And when after the son was born, he went. He took that son and offered it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu very lovingly used to call him Puri Das. And it is not that only we receive mercy by performing the sacrifice. Our offsprings, our people, those who are connected with us, they also get this mercy. And how it was manifested? When Shivananda Sen placed his son at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu just placed his toe into the mouth of that small Puri Das, who later on became Kavikaranapur. That is a mercy. And after that, Mahaprabhu very beautifully can understand the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just by this service attitude or just by this sacrifice. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, Shivanandera Bhagya Sindhu Kepai Vepar. Who can understand the Bhagya Sindhu, the ocean of Bhagya of Shivananda Sen? Why? Yarasa Bhai Gostike Prabhu Kahe Apanar. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered Shivanand's own whole family to be his own, Apanar. So just by one person performing the sacrifice, not only we receive mercy, the whole family receives the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord considers that entire family as Apanar, as me. And not only that, when all these devotees met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after this interaction took place, all the devotees sat together and they had a nice feast. And when Mahaprabhu ate that feast, he washed his hand and called for Govinda and gave him some message, very important message. And what was that message? Shivanandera Prakriti Putra Yavata Etai Amara Avashesha Patra Tara Yena Pai. That Govinda, Now that I've finished taking my prasad, now take this leaf plate on which all my remnants are there. Take this leaf plate and give it to Shivananda Sen and his wife and his children. They should be given my remnants of food. So this is the mercy when one performs this sacrifice. And not only that, one becomes free from the pangs of material existence by accepting this principle. And that is also very beautifully described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Mahaprabhu began his South India Yatra under the instruction or guidance of Saurav Bhattacharya, first place where he went was Kurmakshetra in Andhra Pradesh. So in that Kurmakshetra, he met the Kurma Brahman in the temple of Kurmadev. He met that Brahman and he was so much attracted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was a devotee. He understood that this person is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then when Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu's principle was wherever he went, he stayed there for one day, slept that night either on the road, side of the road, or in some temple, and early morning he left for another place, just chanting and dancing, embracing everyone and converting everybody into devotees. That was his preaching throughout the entire South India Yatra. Right from beginning from Andhra, topmost, down till the entire back. Wherever he went, practically Kaviraj Goswami explains that each and every state, each and every country, each and every village, people were converted into Vaishnavas. So I was just thinking that whole Andhra Pradesh, which is now under the influence of so much conversions, 500 years back, it was practically a Vaishnava state. Because Mahaprabhu went everywhere, right from top till Tirupati down, till Ahobilam. And everywhere, according to Krishna Kaviraj Goswami, everywhere people were converted into Vaishnavas. Everyone became devotees. But this Kurma Brahman, when Mahaprabhu was leaving, he could not bear the separation. He could not bear. He says, I will come with you. I cannot live here. And he beautifully says, Kripa karo prabhu more yana tomar sange sahite na pari dukha vishaya tarange. Sahite na pare vishaya tarange. I cannot bear. It is unbearable for me. What? Vishaya tarange. This whole material existence, the waves of material life are so difficult. I cannot bear to live with it. It is unbearable for me. But I request you, please take me with you. But Mahaprabhu does not accept that. Mahaprabhu doesn't say, okay, come on, let my number increase. Let me increase my brahmachari or sannyas ashram. No. Because Mahaprabhu knew that he was a grihastha. And therefore Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kahe aiche baat kabo na kahibo grihe rahi krishna naam nirantar laibo. Just stay at house. Be at house and always chant Krishna's name. But this is one aspect. Now one may see, what is the connection with this verse? The other part. Two personalities Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets in this meeting immediately. And to both these personalities, Mahaprabhu gives the same instruction. And Mahaprabhu says, Yare deke taro kaho Krishna upadesh, amara gyay guru hoya taro eidesh. So Mahaprabhu is telling, not only just to chant Hare Krishna, nirantar, constantly, but whomever you meet, wherever you go, always preach about Krishna. Give them the upadesh of Krishna. Become a part of this preaching mission. Use your intelligence to preach. Preaching is not a matter of just money. Preaching is a matter of intelligence, seeing the person who is there opposite to us. According to time, place and circumstances, you have to adjust your preaching style and preach. So intelligence is required. As this verse says, one has to use one's intelligence for preaching. So Mahaprabhu is giving this instruction to Kurma Brahman that whomever you meet, just preach. And what will be the result of that? Result is, Kabo na badibe tomar vishaya tarange. Kabo na badibe tomar vishaya tarange. By doing this activity, by constantly chanting Hare Krishna, and by preaching this message of Krishna using your intelligence, what will happen? Kabo na badibe, you will never be affected by these waves of material existence. And the second part he says, Punarapi eithani pabe mora sange. So this is the one more result of accepting this principle of sacrificing one's life. Punarapi eithani pabe mora sange. In this life, when we lead a life based on this principle, and somehow by Krishna's mercy, if we are successful And when we give up this body, what will happen? We don't have to go here and there. Punarapi eithani pabe mora sange. We will come in the association of Krishna by going back home back to Godhead, where Krishna is just waiting. Please come. And after giving his instruction to Kurma Brahman, Mahaprabhu proceeds ahead. And there in that same village, neighboring village, is one great devotee, Vasudev, who was a leper. And when he came to know about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came running to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when he came there, he understood that Mahaprabhu has left that place. He became so depressed that how can I live without? How can I, even though Mahaprabhu had come here, I could not have darshan. My life is a waste. And he's just lamenting, crying. Because seeing that eagerness, because he had that sincere desire to have the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu immediately appeared there. And the condition of Vasudeva was so hopeless. Each and every part of his body was oozing with pus, not only pus, blood and worms in it. Nobody would ever like, as Vasudev is praying, that nobody would ever like to come close to me, stinking. But says, my dear Lord, you are so grateful, you have embraced me. Mahaprabhu just embraces Vasudev leper. And when he embraces him, his whole body is transformed into a beautiful, young, youthful body. And when he gets that, Vasudev is not happy. He's not thinking, yes, now I can go out and, you know, become a very beautiful person, I can attract so many people. No. He's lamenting over the benediction which he has got, the benediction of a youthful body. He says, Kintu achilana bata adhama haiya, ebe ahankara mora janibe asiya. Now that I have got this beautiful body, my dear Lord, I am worried of becoming proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One becomes proud. So when one possesses one's lot of wealth, when one possesses a lot of intelligence, the result is pride creeps in. And therefore, Vasudev also is fearful of this principle of pride. That now that I become beautiful, pride is going to creep into me. But Mahaprabhu says, gives a solution to that also. Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kahe kabo tomar na hoibe abhiman. Prabhu kahe na kabe tomar hoibe abhiman. Nirantara kaho tumi Krishna Krishna naam. By constantly chanting Krishna's name, you will never be affected by pride. Kabo na tomar hoibe abhiman. This is a common instruction to both of them. Chant Krishna's name. And then he says, Krishna upadesha karo jivera nistar achirate Krishna toma karibena angikar. What do you have to do? You have to preach about Krishna and thus liberate the living entities. Krishna upadesha karo jivera nistar. And as a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. So any person who does these two things, constantly chanting Hare Krishna and engaging his everything, whatever he possesses, manasa deho geho jo kichu mor arpilu tuva pade nanda kishor. And Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport that Krishna's mission has been manifesting in the form of Hare Krishna movement. Therefore everyone, now he's speaking of this verse, speaks of grahastha, everyone, whatever one possesses, one has to utilize for propagating this mission. Yagya sankirtana praye rajanti hi sumedasa. One has to utilize in Krishna's mission to propagate this mission so that all the fallen souls who are rotting in this material world can get this chance to go back to Godhead. And not only in benefiting others, not only are they will benefit, we also have this benefit that at the end Krishna is going to stand waiting to embrace us. And we see when these two things, when this principle becomes the life of every devotee, brahmachari, grahastha, vanprastha, sannyasi, whoever, because practically in our Hare Krishna movement, except vanprastha, everybody possesses money. Brahmachari possesses money, grahastha possesses money, sannyasi also possesses money, and everybody has intelligence. So when this combination comes together, when all these four ashramas come together and utilize, ideally brahmachari should not have money. That is what is. But if a brahmachari uses his intelligence And Grahastha uses his intelligence plus money. When this combination comes together, then what happens? This wonderful, simple temple is created. A whole temple, so many exalted. If we can list the names, the whole class will go on listing the names from top to down. But just as an offering to all these exalted Grihasthas who are maintaining, creating, propagating this mission of Srila Prabhupada in all aspects, everything of this temple, right from the deities to the devotees, whatever is needed, it is there. Right from brahmacharis to sannyasis, for all ranges, Grihasthas of this simple temple are taking care based on this principle. And because they are doing it, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, according to Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is no doubt that Punarapi Eithani Pabe Mora Sange, that all these people will ultimately come under the loving embrace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Vantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Nitai Gaur Premanande. No question. Yeah.